Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Playoffs are here. We're not in them. I had to give a pep talk to another group of people who are in this division. I didn't have to do it in Baltimore. Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, joins us as we go around the AFC North. Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ken, first off, is this the year Lamar gets to the Super Bowl?
I think this is the year he looks like Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, but slaying Kansas City is a different story, though. I'm strangely confident they get to Arrowhead, but I'm not going to guarantee you they get to the Super Bowl.
What's the deal with Zay Flowers?
It's a knee. They don't think it's serious. My guess is he doesn't play Saturday night, but he's working to try to get there. And I think there's a good shot he plays. Assuming they beat Pittsburgh, he plays the following week.
Can you believe the point spread is double digits for a grudge match that happens to take place in the playoffs between these two teams?
I'm shocked, but I think it's more about the fact that, like, frankly, the Steelers look broken. Like, the last 4 weeks, they've been awful. And I just think that, and plus the Ravens, when they're right, score 30 points a game. So I think that's where we are.
What's it like to feel like your team, your Baltimore Ravens are in the Steelers and Steelers fans' head that deeply?
Honestly, that's a little bit of news to me because I always feel it's the opposite. Like the Ravens had, going into that game a few weeks ago, had lost 8-9, and quite frankly, it felt like the Steelers were in the Ravens' heads, and Tomlin was in Harbaugh's head, and they're always in Lamar's head. So I guess it's all about perspective, but I've always felt the opposite as far as this matchup is concerned.
Now that you guys have Derrick Henry in the mix for the postseason, I think a lot of people are thinking differently about the Ravens maybe ceiling, but if Baltimore falls in one of these, and I don't think it'll be this game, but if Baltimore falls down a couple of possessions or down 10 points, how do you think they do with that scenario? Do you think they abandon the run? Will they stick with it? Are they still in those ball games?
Well, that's the $50,000 question, isn't it? Because in 2019 against Tennessee, they had a great running game. They got down 10 early, and they stopped running the football. Against Kansas City, they stopped running the football. They were only down 10 and then 7. I think Derrick Henry would choke Todd Monken himself if he didn't get the football in a playoff game. Obviously, I think fans, the trepidation for fans is, does Lamar Jackson look like playoff Lamar, even though he's looked great in the regular season, probably had his, not probably, had his best regular season ever, and will they get cute and stop running the football? I think because they have that guy, they will continue to run the ball.
Is Justin Tucker fixed?
Do I think he's fixed? No. Do I think he's okay? Yeah, but if he has to line up for a 50-yard field goal to tie the game late, I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't be a little concerned.
What do Ravens fans – we know what Steeler fans think of Myles Garrett. What do Ravens fans think about him? I know that the audio came out from NFL media. The Roger Rosengarten, Dr. Rosen. The audio with the offensive lineman, Myles Garrett, talking to him. What do Ravens fans think of him?
By the way, Ken, you'd be proud of me. I started watching Hard Knocks. But, I saw that last night on social. And I think there's a healthy respect for Myles Garrett. Partly, you know, Ravens fans hate T.J. Watt because he plays for the Steelers and he's really good. And the Steelers are a threat to the Ravens. So, frankly, and I hate to say it, but the Browns have never been a threat to the Ravens. So I think there's just a healthy respect for Myles Garrett. And I think most Ravens fans acknowledge he's arguably the best defensive player in football.
The Ravens are in the playoffs. They are taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers over the weekend. And that was Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan. In Baltimore. To preview it, James Rapine, we now welcome him in from Locked On Bengals and Sports Illustrated from down in Cincinnati, where they did everything they could to make the playoffs, but it was too little too late. They are bounced, and they have used Lou Anarumo as a scapegoat. Is that what he is, James, or were there legitimate reasons to can Lou Anarumo? Defensive coordinator.
Both. Yeah, both. I think Lou Anarumo is clearly a good coach, and we've seen that from him. At the same time, it wasn't just about struggling on defense this year. It was about all of the guys they've drafted over the past couple of years not necessarily developing the way they wanted, not turning into contributors like they wanted. So I think it was a mixture of both things. But there's no doubt that Lou's a good coach, and they know that. And so I think it's going to be hard to upgrade in that area, so we'll see if they can.
Is there a chance, and I don't know how on record Joe Burrow has been on this, that Burrow is part of the reason that Zach Taylor still has his job, that maybe he appreciates the relationship, and if the ownership asked Burrow would say keep him?
Well, I'm certain that's part of it. I mean, I think that's a big reason why Zach survived year two of his tenure. Obviously, he's going into year seven now, and they've made a couple playoff runs since, but yeah, I think that relationship is huge, and the front office values that. And I'm not sure at any moment, so far at least, they've gotten to that point where they ask Joe or bring it up to Joe about moving on from Zach. I do think that with these changes, a new offensive line coach on offense, three new coaches minimum on defense, including your defensive coordinator, that Zach better win next year. You better get back to the playoffs next year. Otherwise, yeah, I think those conversations could happen. I think the seat for Zach Taylor is certainly warm entering 2025, and it's because of all the changes that they're in the process of making right now.
Is there any chance the Bengals could hold on to T. Higgins instead of Ja'Marr Chase?
Oh, look at you. No. Let's not do that.
I was just asking.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to start anything.
There's a chance if you want Joe Burrow to pick up the stadium and throw it into the Ohio River. No, I don't think that's even remotely. But like Ja'Marr is a.
So wait a minute. The ultimate team guy, the guy who's the leader of your franchise, Joe Burrow, is just going to suffer fools and be okay with Ja'Marr Chase causing a giant distraction going into the season and then almost derailing this entire season with the talks of the contract?
Ja'Marr Chase is the best receiver in Bengals history. He just finished year four. Joe Burrow is well on his way of being the best quarterback in franchise history. If they broke those guys up, then yeah, Joe would have a right to be furious. So yeah, I think that is a must. And if you ask Joe, T is a must as well. And I do think that's what's interesting is you saw vocal Joe Burrow. If this front office doesn't get something done long term, not just with Jamar, but T as well, what does Joe do? How does he react? They have the money, the cash flow, the cap space, all of the above to keep both of those guys. And so we'll see what happens if they don't. But Jamar, that should be number one. They can negotiate with him at any point. I don't know why you would wait, quite frankly. I would try to get that done tomorrow if you can.
James Rapine, Locked On Bengals, Cincinnati, where they're in the same spot we are, on the couch for the playoffs in the 2024-2025 season. Before we bring in Pony, I had to give a pep talk to Pony and Mueller yesterday. I tuned in a little bit of 93.7. You would not believe the downtrodden voices they had. The way they just assumed that this is going to be a loss coming up this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens. I could not believe what I was hearing. You wouldn't believe what you were hearing. And I felt, again, hell is frozen over. I had to call in and talk them into talking Steelers fans into thinking that, yeah, it's the NFL. You'd have a chance to win.
Can you give your listeners just a little bit of a let up here? I mean, guys, you understand what I've been talking about over the last 48 hours?
No.
I mean,
Cam Ward.
Saying, oh my! No.
Baker Mayfield.
We're talking about setbacks and insurance over injuries and how this could get us away out of prison for crying out loud here.
Yeah.
Exactly. For the love of God. If you're going to the playoffs, act like it.
Thanks, Ken.
I cannot believe I'm telling you guys this. Goodbye.
See ya.
Audio courtesy of 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. We welcome in one half of that show over there, Andrew Filippone. 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh as the Steelers get set to take on the Ravens coming up Saturday night at 8 p.m. Pony, why the long face with your fan base?
I don't know, Ken, because they've lost four in a row. They scored 17 points against a team that just fired its defensive coordinator. And they've lost their last five playoff games. And frankly, every game has been a blowout because they dug themselves such a big hole.
Andrew, have you flip-flopped for a fourth time this year on Mike Tomlin?
Yes, I'm back to thinking he's ready to be traded, or should be.
Boy, the trade thing is very interesting. I know
by
that...
By the way, Lima, before you continue to grill me on Tomlin, it's interesting because I remember the fan in Cleveland sending out viral videos of Ken not being excited about the Cavaliers playoff matchup against the Magic. So are you allowed to do that with the basketball team?
Whoa. I didn't. When was this? I didn't
yes,
sit there
did.
And
you
say.
You said if you were there for their last regular season game, you would have booed them, and there was no excitement or anticipation for the first round series.
That is not true.
I do remember we got into a debate about why people weren't excited about the Cavs playoffs.
Yes, you did.
Because I remember I was defending.
I didn't say I was going to boo the Cavs in the playoffs, you ass. I never said that.
No, you said the last regular season game. You said if you were there, you would have booed them. You said that.
Well, that's because of the way they treated that final game. Remember what they did with the substitutions?
That's right. People were upset. Yeah, no, I said it was fine for them to be booed.
The season, I'm supposed to sit here and get people fired up for this series? You said that.
But I didn't say they were going to lose. I didn't say they were going to sit there and lose like you're saying this entire time against the Baltimore Ravens.
So you should say.
I thought they were going to win.
So you should say, I think the Steelers are going to win. They're a 10-point underdog.
I would like you to find a way that the Steelers can win, and if the Steelers don't win, then yeah, you can go ahead and hammer them. But my God, these are playoff appearances don't fall off a tree.
And your phone call to us yesterday was, hey, why don't you guys use the same strategy that didn't work against Cincinnati against Baltimore? Yeah, there's a real bright idea.
Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. So what do you want to do? What's your strategy? To throw the ball all over the place with a hurt George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth?
Oh, so you'd rather run it with Najee Harris 25 times?
I'd rather try to find a way to get an offense that can actually move the football instead of just doing three and outs like you've been doing the last month.
Yeah. Exactly. I agree with that.
Thank you. Yeah, can I be in charge of the football for a second over here?
Well, what is it, Andrew?
Yeah. If we were talking hockey, I guess we could bring you on and you could be the expert.
What is it that Russell Wilson is struggling with right now?
Just about everything. Did you see his two-minute drill against the Bengals? Saturday night, it was one of the worst I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that was just unbecoming of a 13-year veteran quarterback. Completely lost sense of the time, terrible spatial awareness, not knowing when to throw the ball away, not knowing when to live to play another down. It was just awful. And so they brought him here to make plays like that. Kenny Pickett actually thrived in those situations. Not that he's a better quarterback than Russ, but we saw a guy the last 2 years make those plays. This guy couldn't. I'm telling you, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I would play Fields against the Ravens. Why the hell not?
From start to finish?
Why not?
Wow.
Well, I have a theory about this.
During the four-game losing streak, you think he gives them a chance to win?
I think you want to talk this into existence because you can't stand Mike Tomlin. You want him gone. You want to trade for him. And so you want to trade him away, and I think you want them to lose. So this expedites that situation.
Ken, we've seen, well, he's not getting fired, so it doesn't matter. They could lose the game 50-0, and he'd probably get a key to the city from the owner of the team. Look, he's 36 years old. We saw what happened to Kirk Cousins this year, Aaron Rodgers. I watched what happened to Ben in his final couple years. I think he's shot. I don't think he has an NFL future. I think if the Steelers don't re-sign him to be their starting quarterback, he'll be completely out of the NFL next year. So another thing is, I'll ask you guys this question.
I don't know about that. I think we'll talk about him plenty on The Fan and whether or not people want to bring him here.
Oh, my God.
So there's still a little bit of a future there.
If he had gone in for Fields when Justin was benched and put up these four games in a row and the Steelers lost all four, Fields would be their starting quarterback again. So why can't you do it now? The number one thing Tomlin wanted in Wilson was not to protect the football. It was to score points. He said
Let me ask you this. Do you truly believe that will give you a better chance to win? Because it's saying, well, what can it hurt? That's not an answer. It's not an answer. You got to do what gives you a better, you truly believe gives you a better chance to beat the Ravens Saturday.
Well, I mean, I need big playmaking. I don't think I'm going to have sustained drives just running into the brick wall that's there. Front seven because they're number one against the run, and I don't. It's 10-on-11.
I don't think you're going to have big playmaking. But if George Pickens can't be George Pickens, I don't think you're going to have big playmaking anyway.
Okay, fine.
I don't think you have weapons to throw to.
So you can say this isn't a sufficient answer. I'd rather lose with a 25-year-old quarterback that possibly has upside than a 36-year-old who's ready for the glue factory. Sorry, okay. I just would.
That's fine.
Is it the weather? Did the weather cause issues? I know you played a tougher schedule down the stretch.
Oh, my God. Come on. The guy's got huge hands. He played in Seattle his entire career.
But he had the same injury Brady Quinn had when he was here, and Brady Quinn has said he was never able to grip the football the same way again, and he believes that Russell Wilson is not able to do the same.
Wait a minute. Who are we talking about here? Russ?
Yes. Yeah. It's the same hand injury.
Oh. Well, Russ had that hand injury in Seattle years ago.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. If you can't grip the ball ever since, just like Brady Quinn couldn't, then I guess you're really screwed now, aren't you?
You need a dome. Pittsburgh needs a dome.
I don't know, Ken. Was his hand broken when he threw for 414 yards and put up 44 points against the Bengals earlier in the year?
When it was nice outside.
If the weather gets worse, things tend to throb.
Okay, how about when he went to Buffalo last year and beat them and played a great game?
What was the weather?
It was windy, and it wasn't a snowstorm, but it wasn't a beautiful, City Hall kind of
day. Andrew, let's talk turkey. What happened to TJ Watt? I haven't heard his name in an NFL game in like 8 weeks. What's going on?
You know what? I'm not going to come on here and defend him right now. I'm not going to play the
TJ Watt game. Wow, why aren't you going to defend your guy?
Because if you are the best defensive player in the world, you've got to find a way to make plays. And he went up against Cody freaking Ford on Saturday. And he did have a strip sack, but it didn't count because there was a defensive holding penalty on the play.
Is he injured? Fine. Are we just going to hear about an injury at the end of the year? Or have teams figured him out all these years later?
You are. Yep, you're going to hear that. You're going to hear that he turned his ankle against Philadelphia. Yes, there's animals. Funny. He turned his ankle against Philly, and we're going to hear that he wasn't 100%, and that was severely limiting him and holding him back in these games. I guarantee we'll hear that.
And that is around
from JJ on NFL Today.
And that is around the AFC North, and I'm surprised that Andrew Filippone did not have one FS1 reference in there. Not a single one.
Boy, we had the odds on that.
Yes, we did.
I know we had TJ Watt somehow top two all year, Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah. And the odds were even, dead even, that we would get an FS1 reference in there.
I told Owen yesterday, did I not right after the show? Go, be ready. Yeah. Be ready. You might have to dump it.
Waiting for something.
He's going to have to text you, or maybe he'll leave a coming in hot.
It was 93.7 yesterday. I was listening to Nick and Jonathan, because I played you guys that clip of Jonathan making the plea for Shador Sanders, which I loved. I have an open mind. I want to play that again by the end of the show. But I clicked over there because I just saw this like negative stuff. Mitch was like, yeah, they're being negative over there. And I go, well, what's negative? And I'm telling, they're like, well, when we lose this game, and it's just like, man, I've never thought, and I know that people, Ken, you're a homer. No, okay, guilty as charged. But I think the way it is that I'm in Cleveland. If we weren't in Cleveland and I was looking at, okay, the Browns are playing the Ravens in a playoff game, or the Steelers in the playoff game in 2020, it was like, hey, everybody's out with COVID. If I had no emotional connection to either team, I could sit there and I could say, well, this is who's going to win and this is why, and I probably would have said the Steelers, right? Right. But I have an emotional connection to the Browns. I wanted to find ways the Browns would win, and if they didn't win, well, we're all out with COVID anyway, so we'll see how it goes. Or let's find a way the Browns can win, and if the Browns don't win, then yeah, I'll scream and yell. It's the same thing with the Steelers. Like, do you want to hear a week of, if you're a Steeler fan, did you want to hear a week of telling the Steelers going to look like, what if they go out there and they win? What are you going to do then?
I remember this happened not that long ago, the 2020 season. I remember everybody. We played Daryl's calls to Pittsburgh.
Which then I felt bad about.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, I think Daryl was in a majority.
That was a miss
most
by me.
Most people, you could say what you want now and act like it never happened, but most people were on Daryl's point of view on this. We got no shot. And yes, did I really, if I had, my family was at gunpoint and I had to tell the captors who I thought was going to win the game.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Do you think I really would have said the Browns? But you know what? That week, I want to be excited about the playoffs.
We knew we were underdogs.
I want to be excited about the playoffs. So I'm going to say, yes, you know what? We can go in there and win. And we kicked their ass.
For as great as it is, I can't imagine a scenario. I cannot imagine a scenario where the Browns will go to the playoffs and it'll just be old hat. And I did. I thought, gosh, you guys are really spoiled over there. You're really spoiled by this.
They know they have no... Because they've seen Super Bowl teams... They know this is not a Super Bowl team, right? Wouldn't they know better than most?
Yeah.
That guy has wilted down the stretch. They had a nice run with Russ. It's over. It's over. He can't play. He can't play the position this time of year. Teams have schemed against them. They don't have wide receivers.
Yes. And it's not a Super Bowl team, but it doesn't mean I don't try to find ways to win, constructive ways to win.
Oh, no.
You don't need to sit there and do pep rally stuff all day until Friday. Then you probably want to get people excited. But it's like, good God, I can't imagine the way people in Cleveland would act. Even if we went to the playoffs umpteen years in a row and we're in the same situation with our head coach that they are with Mike Tomlin.
I know you.
I can't imagine.
I know, Kenny, you have never advocated for tanking. You have never advocated for intentionally having a bad season. I think that's the one team that needs it.
I don't think they need it.
They need it.
They only need it to learn a lesson.
Well,
they
that
would
could
only
be
need it to learn a lesson.
That could be too.
I want them to learn a lesson and not take
always,
this stuff for granted.
Aren't they always too good to ever get one of the best quarterbacks in a draft? They've had bad quarterback play for 13 years. Remember, Big Ben was washed up at the end.
Yes.
They have had bad quarterback play, and yeah, they overcome it, and they win, and they go to the playoffs more times than not. But they have no shot to win, and their fans are over going to the playoffs. They've been to the playoffs so often that the playoffs are not some... We open victory fridges if we win a regular season game. You saw how we reacted when we beat Pittsburgh,
but
right? That's not Pittsburgh. They're used to it. They've been there, done that. It doesn't interest them anymore.
The reason why I'm against tanking, and I'll be against tanking forever, and I'm against tanking for any team, is that, again, any idiot can tear it down. Any idiot can lose. In a game that's hard to win, any idiot can lose on purpose. So that doesn't impress anybody. Tanking it out is not an impressive feat. Actually executing the draft picks and making them play well, that's the impressive thing. And as a person who sat through a tank in 2016 and 17, and where it's only got us to this, at this moment right here, talking about the Cleveland Browns and bickering over two, maybe three quarterbacks, and whether or not we take Russell Wilson or Justin Fields or Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins and the albatross of a quarterback, the one we do not name, why would I advocate that for anybody? I would never advocate that for anybody other than to teach them a lesson. Going to go, okay, I want to show you how quote-unquote easy it is. Because it seems that the teams that do, they tear it down to the studs and they quote-unquote tank, they seem to find themselves in the same situation over and over again. Jacksonville, they did it all for Trevor Lawrence. They're not that great. In fact, they're terrible. The Eagles did it for years. Then they got Howie Roseman. Then they stopped doing it. And now they've gotten better at it. They've gotten better at football. Washington did it like three times with Daniel Snyder. They sucked up the room. He was gone. They finally decided to do it the right way. And here they are. You've had so many. The Dolphins did it twice. You've had so many teams do this. So I don't advocate it for anybody other than to teach them a lesson. It's if the vast majority of their fans think it's just a waste of their time to go to the playoffs and at least have a crack at it, spend one day in my shoes. And your friend's shoes, who are usually Steelers or Browns fans because we're all so close to one another, spend a day in their shoes. I watched that game. Last year, they played Houston. I took that game in. They were getting hammered in that game against Houston. And maybe I'm wrong for doing this. I tried to enjoy every single second of it, even though it wasn't going our way, because I knew that it's not a guarantee that we're going back. I knew what quarterback we were going to bring back. I knew we weren't going to bring Joe Flacco back. I knew that. And I tried to enjoy every single second of that run because I knew it was going to be so hard to go back there. So many things went our way that they usually don't. The Indianapolis game, I mean, how many acts of God happened there in the Indianapolis game? We were able to win that one. Look at the turnover ratio for last year. It was almost as bad as it was this year. And we won 11 games? I enjoyed that as much as I could because this is hard. If you're one of these people who advocate tanking, I just don't think you see the actual reality of the situation. But if you want to teach the Steelers a lesson, yeah, go ahead, tank it out. Get rid of Mike Tomlin, suck up the room next year, go 3-14 yourselves, and we'll see whether or not you can build it up. And you will be the first one that I give a lot of credit to for tanking it out and building it up.
But doesn't it seem like Pittsburgh's the perfect team to finally tank out a year and then get... Say it's Arch Manning. Like, say it's the number one quarterback on the board.
Usually you'd like to say it. Usually you would, because it's them, and they always find ways to be better. But they've always found ways to be better by not doing those sort of things, by not firing people when the mass wants them fired. I mean, Bill Cowher, he's a legend over there. They wanted him fired three times in his career, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, I cannot believe if we, God bless it, if we find ourselves in a way, say they were able to bring it next year, say they do bring in Arch Manning, and Arch Manning takes the Browns to a land that we can never believe, but they go through that 10-year drought where like Tom Brady and the Patriots did, where it's like, hey, you're good, but you didn't win the Super Bowl, and it becomes old hat. Boy, if I ever say the type of stuff they were saying yesterday in Pittsburgh, take me over to Public Square and throw eggs at me. Stone me if you want to. I just
think they're more Super Bowl or bust over there, and we're more playoff or bust. I think we
got to get the playoffs to have a chance at the Super Bowl.
I know. I just think they know they have no chance at the Super Bowl, so they're not going to be interested. I think in a lot of ways that's what was happening with the Cavs last year when we went in and people were not excited because they said we have no chance to win it all.
No chance
to win it all, even though, you know, and we've been to the playoffs. We've been to the playoffs plenty of times.
Find a way to get to the playoffs. Or find a way to get to the playoffs, then find a way to get the quarterback. If they find a way to get a quarterback, then it's up to them. It's on them to go ahead and do that. 216-474-0092. Am I living in the past on Nick Chubb? Zach said on Afternoon Drive, like, hey, he's not going to sign the first week of free agency. He's going to survey the landscape. It's a good draft class with running backs. There's a lot of young guys out there. He's not going to be signed the first week. So don't expect him to just come back. And I thought, man, you know, if he's lost a step, I think this would be the time where he's lost a step. He's been injured. He's coming back from an injury. That's a fine reason to say he hasn't lost a step yet, that he was just coming back from injury. But I look at the reality of the situation. I go, well, why can't we make him a short yardage back? And immediately I got, well, he's never been a short yardage back. Well, you guys called up and cussed out Kevin Stefanski for not putting him in short yardage situations. Who says he can't be a short yardage back? They used him at the goal line this last year. Their offensive line sucks. Even the worst, best running backs need a good offensive line. Why can't we use Nick Chubb? Half the people wanted to cuss me out because I was somehow disrespecting Nick Chubb.
I mean, I have no idea. I have no problem if they bring him back, if he's healthy enough to do it and he wants to do it. He just as long as everybody understands that bell cow, no. Feature, no. Part of a running back by committee. And now you're starting to see stud running backs that you don't want them sharing the ball with anybody because they're so good, because they're so outstanding. Bijan Robinson type guy. Like, you just want to see the better Saquon Barkley. You just want to see the better back at all the carries. Mm-hmm. So, as long as you're done with that and everybody understands that, then yeah, bring him back, short yardage, whatever.
I'm not living in the past, though, just because I want to bring him back at, like, hey, give him some incentives like you did this last year and bring him back. I'm not trying to do a charity. Just, I want to see if he has anything left.
Why would anybody be against that, per se? Because they think it wastes a roster spot. Apparently. And running back, he's washed.
They say running backs don't matter, and they think he's washed up.
But I don't think he'd cost anything, right? Is there going to be a bidding war?
He's not a distraction. He doesn't hurt my franchise. He certainly is loved by the fan base. His teammates love him. Why wouldn't I give a guy like that another shot? In a season where I still need to build culture, certainly with this team, why wouldn't I give a guy like Nick Chubb another crack at it? 78-4, you're telling me people wouldn't pick the Cavs to beat the Celtics?
78-4 and just dominating along the way. Now, Oklahoma City's the only team with a better point differential than us, I think, right now. But there are other statistical numbers that show we're the best team. Either way, it's either the Cavs or Oklahoma City.
Should I take that as a disrespect? Because I didn't think yesterday, you know, you and I spent a segment talking about it. I go, I don't think they're disrespected. I think that the league is disrespected in a lot of ways because I think fans are... I think the pundits are bored to tears, so they're finding bad things to say about the league. I do think that there's a plethora of three-pointers. If I was joining from a 30,000 feet, I'd say, yeah, you know, that's kind of a lot. I don't know if we should allow hand-checking or maybe change the three-point line or anything like that. But the Cavs are taking advantage of it. They're the best shooting team in the league. They're fantastic. I'm a Cavs fan. My team's kicking ass, so I don't care about those things. But when I hear that from Justin, not that Justin's disrespecting the Cavs, Justin really likes them. But when I'm hearing my 31-4 team, no matter their record, would be underdogs against the Celtics, well, something's got to change.
Well, so admittedly, this is coming...
I know they're the defending champions, but come on.
Yeah, man. Admittedly, this is coming from me, who has said that the Celtics have the most perfect roster in this era of basketball with the apron rules and all of that. They have the best, most complete roster. Man, the Cavs roster now with the way that Evan Mobley and Darius Garland are playing looks pretty damn good.
It does.
There are going to be some questions about what the rotation will be like come playoff time, because you're going to be in tougher games. You're not just going to play your starters 30 minutes and play 12 guys. That's just not happening against good teams.
Do you think the Cavs are disrespected? 216-474-0092.
So it's also a league in which we have always been later to the party on teams. We never like saying that a team is... that the team... We like saying, hey, this team's up and coming. We never like to just fully say this team... Unless it's a wide open year. You know, that 2015 Golden State team... remember, that was LeBron's first year back... Golden State hadn't won it yet. Remember, Steve Kerr was their coach, and they had evolved their style of play and everything. But that was the end of the Miami Heat, San Antonio Spurs run. So it was kind of a wide open league. Yeah. So it was a little different. I see people comparing this year to that year, and they're saying, why can't we be the Warriors of that year?
Well, you can be.
I also think part of it is that year the Warriors were doing something that no other teams were doing. in the three-point shooting. Now every team is shooting a ton of threes. There is no stylistic difference, it seems, at the top with the teams, other than maybe you'd say, all right, Cavs are more unselfish than all the other teams, which we are. Mm-hmm. We are moving the basketball at light speed. It's awesome to watch. But we also know the playoffs are different. The playoffs are a different brand of basketball. There is more one-on-one. Well, there is more, can you defend this guy in certain positions on the floor?
When I go back to my memory, because I go back to the last couple of years, and there were times where I was fit to be tied and angry. And I was angry at Kobe Altman and all the other things. And I think Kobe Altman's proving that he's done a fine job assembling this. With Mike Gansey, done a fine job of assembling the current roster as it is. Even though, boy, we've been through it a little bit here. And Ty Jerome, when healthy, has been able to play pretty nicely for him. I know that it's been a little bit up and down here recently, but, you know, I get what people are saying. But I had to go back to, I think it might have been Justin himself going, Ken, you remember, the teams had to break through that wall. The Cavs had to break through that wall with LeBron. And you go back to that Golden State team, they had Mark Jackson. People thought they had reached the ceiling with Mark Jackson. They bring in Steve Kerr. We have J.B. Bickerstaff. People believe that we have reached a ceiling with J.B. Bickerstaff. These are builders, not guys who finish off the job. They brought in Steve Kerr. We bring in Kenny Atkinson. And we are seeing a different Evan Mobley. And for all we know, J.B.'s probably sitting there going, yeah, this is stuff I wanted him to do. He just wasn't ready to do it. That's fair. He's doing a good job up in Detroit. What did you say? They've won 11 of their last 13. So he's doing a fine job up in Detroit. Nothing against J.B. Bickerstaff at all in this argument. But there is such a thing as a building coach and a guy that gets you over the top. And maybe this is the guy, and maybe this is the Cavaliers' time. That, yeah, you had to run into the wall a few times. We ran into the Knicks. We ran into the Celtics. Is this the year we take something away from the Celtics? They can't win it every year, can they?
And they are. The Cavs are definitely paying for what happened 2 years ago when they were out toughed against the Knicks, which a different coach.
That sticks in our memory.
It was a different coach, but it's still. We had heard, you know, the comments from some of the players and the lights are too bright and all that. And it's the same core group that last year really struggled to beat an up-and-coming, to their credit, Orlando team, but nobody was taken seriously. So I think that's part of it. They have kind of been disappointing in the playoffs. Not kind of. They have been. The Cavs have been disappointing in the playoffs. Even the Colin Sexton year, you know, the Colin Sexton years.
Yeah, that was a...
Just... They have not been able to...
Kind of fell off and then ended up in the play-in.
Yeah, and they've not been able to achieve in the rounds that seem to matter the most to people these days. You know, it's like, hey, let's be honest, college basketball, nobody cares about regular season college basketball anymore. It's only what you do in the tournament. And that's what you're hired and fired for ultimately. Well, the NBA has kind of turned into that. It's not really interesting to anybody. Like, Golden State won 72 games in 2016. They didn't win the championship, and they got made fun of relentlessly. I mean, if the Cavs have an unbelievable record and then lose in the playoffs in the first or second round, they'll be maybe even in the Eastern Conference Finals, they'll be ripped.
216-474-0092. Do you think the Cavs are disrespected? I thought the league was disrespected, but I hear that and I go, man, it's hard for me not to get emotional about that. Zach in Cleveland, hello.
Hey, guys. Yeah. I mean, the Cavs are always, and Cleveland in general, anytime we're on national TV, we're always getting disrespected, man. They're always, you know, when the Browns lose a big game, they're always playing the drive, the fumble.
I actually don't think they do that anymore.
Right?
I mentioned that a few years ago. I think they've retired that video.
Well, I don't know, man. ESPN runs that a lot. But the point I'm trying to make is This is what's going to happen. Win or lose, right? Like, if we win, they'll talk a little bit about the Cavs in the postgame and how the Cavs play good team basketball and this and that and the other. And then it'll go back to SGA because he's the face of that team, right? Like, him and Donovan Mitchell are the faces of each team.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of talk about SGA and how he could be the next face of the league. And the Thunder is like a super, super young team. Cavs are young too, but we got some older guys, and the Cavs have played together. Everybody's watched them lose in the playoffs on national TV, so they've seen this team. And if we lose, then it's going to be, is this team going to be able to stack up against Boston in the East? They got the best record, but They can't beat good teams. That's going to
be
the narrative.
Well, you're going to be bothered. I'll tell you why you're going to be bothered. I have a theory about that. With Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you will be annoyed because I think the league is scrambling to find their next face. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
They have LeBron. LeBron is 40 freaking years old. He can't keep doing it forever.
You see that dunk he did last night, though? That was
amazing. That was amazing.
That was insane, yeah, dude. But, I thought that was like an edited video.
Zach, is Adam Silver going to say something to Drake to have him say something nasty about LeBron so he continues to dunk for the rest of the season? They got to find that next player.
They have to, yeah.
Because, and Zach, thank you very much for the call, because I agree with him at the end. They will talk like crazy in the postgame about him, because Zion Azidi, I don't want to say weight jokes or anything like that. I don't even mean it as a joke, but Zion is not the Zion that they thought he was going to be coming out of Duke. Ja Morant, haven't heard anything about him, thank goodness, but obviously there was some ugliness there. I think that the league wants a player to be the next face. Jokic is here for a job. That's it. That's what he is. I don't think that, I think that right now you have a bunch of reluctant people that want to be the face of the league. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander might be a guy that they want to be that face. But Evan Mobley is a great player. He's not what he is, what Alexander is, but he's too meek.
He's
not going to be the
huge figure. Isn't it interesting the bar we have for different sports? Like, is Josh Allen that interesting? I know who he's dating or whatever, but is he that interesting off the field? Is Patrick Mahomes that interesting?
Patrick Mahomes is not really.
He's not in the stratosphere of Travis Kelce.
I think he's pretty damn interesting.
Off the field?
Yeah.
I think he is. I think he's kind of boring off the field.
He's a boring guy that married his high school sweetheart and has kids.
He is.
Off the field. He's not Travis Kelce.
He has a lot of people who people find very annoying around him that have also...
But that's not
you him. Bring that up a lot. I don't think a lot of people talk about that as much as you do right now.
I just brought it up. I brought it up in passing in this conversation. I don't talk about Brittany Mahomes that much or his brother.
But what I'm saying is the NFL, it's a different standard. Like the NBA gets tapped with, you got to find the next stars. You got to find the next stars. The NFL just always will have the top quarterbacks on the top teams. And it doesn't matter. Doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't even matter if 70 quarterbacks play in a year. If the Super Bowl was played between two backup quarterbacks, would there be any lesser rating? No.
No.
And by the way, I am not into the wild card matchups this weekend, really. 10 point favorites in one game. What, the Broncos in that other game? I'm not interested in these games. They're not that interesting, but the rating will be massive.
The NBA is a star-driven league. You got to have somebody. And right now, I don't know who to pass the baton on to if you're the NBA. There is no... Exactly. All I mean, we're sitting there going, who is it? So that's why, Gilgeous-Alexander might be that guy. So, yeah, you're going to be annoyed.
Hey, y'all. It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk Wayfair. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.